We're doing our class Judaism head to toe, and now we're up to the arms, so we'll talk about tefillin a little bit. In our parsha, we have the mitzvah of tefillin. In tefillin, so we have four parshiot. That means there are four paragraphs of Torah that are written in the tefillin. So in the tefillin of the arm, the four parshiot are written on one long piece of parchment. It's rolled up. So we have, it goes like this. We have the parsha of Shema. Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad. That parsha. Then Vehoyoim Shomoa, the second parsha of Shema. And then the parsha Ki Yaviacha, at the end of this week's parsha, when Hashem will bring you to the land of Israel. So, and then another Vehaya. And it will be as you come to the land, you will have the mitzvot. So we have Shema Vehoya, Ki Yaviacha Vehaya. We have these four parshiyot. Yes? And let's take a Siddur for a second. Here we go. I got it backwards. I knew something was wrong. V'hoya is v'hoya ki yaviacha. And this is Kadesh Li. Sorry. Kadesh. Kadesh Li kol b'chor. Okay? So that's the end of this week's parasha. We have Kadesh Li kol b'chor. Peter echem ibn Yisrael ba'adam uva'beima lihu. This parasha. And then v'haya ki yaviacha Hashem ukecha la'eretz ha'Kenani. So we'll see that. So these two parshiot, Kadesh and Vehoya. Vehoya ki yaviacha. I got it. Sorry, I said ki yaviacha. That's wrong. It's Kadesh lichol b'chor and Vehoya ki yaviacha. So then we roll them backwards in the tefillin. Roll them in. And when you open it, you have Shema. That's the same way you roll. Mezuzah, right. You roll it backwards. And on the Shilyad, it sits like this, rolled up. When we roll up the parsha, so after we've rolled it up, we take hairs from a kosher animal, an ox, a cow, a sheep. We take hairs, we wrap it up, we tie it, stick it in, and now our parchment is closed. After our parchment is closed, we are going to do this with every parsha of the Shilyad and the Shorosh. We take another piece of parchment and we wrap it. So we're going to take another piece of parchment and wrap it around this piece of parchment till it comes back around the front. Okay, it wraps it. Let's imagine this is one piece, yes? So we begin like this. And we come around the top and wrap it inward like this. So where you see the fold, you see which side is facing up. The upper fold is here. You wrap the parsha inside the tefillin with a piece of parchment. And then you put another hair around that piece of parchment. You take a few hairs, you wrap it, tie it again, and this little package goes into your tefillin. Okay? So that's the parsha and the tefillin shilyad. You have all four parshiot written in order. And then they're wrapped up like this inside your tefillin. Next, we sew up the tefillin. So the tefillin, the sewing of the tefillin has to be a square, an exact square. That's halacha Moshe Sinai. If you look at the tefillin, you will see that the tefillin has holes, approximately 12, depending different customs on that. But the tefillin has holes that go like this around the tefillin. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12. So theoretically it's 12 holes going around the square of the tefillin. And they have to be in a perfect square. And we sow. What do we sow with? We sow with gidim. Gidim are the sinews of an animal. Now, we make a string of those gidim. And the string, most gidim, most sinews, that's like this thing, right? Most gidim don't strip in a straight line. So you can't make them, you cannot make them into a good string. The only gid that strips in a straight line, that you can peel it in straight lines and make it into a string, is the gid anoshe. Interesting. So primarily they use that, so I was told. And they make it into a thread, into a very strong thread. And when you see it, you think you're looking at a plastic string, but it isn't. It's a special string called gid, and it's expensive actually. And they thread it on a thread. They put it on a thread. And then they sew up your tefillin. We go down and up and down and up and down and up, right, all around. And then we come back down and up. So we sew both sides, the upper side and the lower side. And the tefillin have to be held shut by the gidim. Halacha leMoshe miSinai. Tradition for Moshe from Sinai. Today they have a new shtick. They'll glue your tefillin shut. And so when you look at tefillin, you don't see the way tefillin are really made. The way tefillin are really made is there's one hide that comes out here, and then it folds up, and then we make a box out of that fold, and then it folds down and shut. So it's really, it's one long hide that closes like this. But they put glue over here where it closes, they'll put glue all around, and then it looks like one piece. And then they paint it nice and black. And then when someone has to fill in the good authentic way where there's a crack in between, so he looks and he says, my tefillin are broken. No, your tefillin are perfect. That's the way tefillin are supposed to look. It's supposed to be tefillin that close. And the gidim are holding them shut. So why do people like it glued shut? First of all, it looks nicer. And secondly, because then it can be more waterproof. If by mistake some water splashes at you, or you put on your tefillin with wet hair or a wet arm, it won't penetrate your tefillin. But as you can tell from the way I'm saying it, I'm really not a fan of it. I believe it is a questionable practice halachically, and I don't recommend it. I don't do it for myself or my kids' tefillin. Our tefillin are closed with the gidim, the way we always did. Yes, sir.
Kind of makes it mess effects if you want somebody to go check it as well, right?
Right. Opening it up to check it involves also skill in how to cut it open. That's harder. Obviously, there are many good authorities that hold it's kosher. Otherwise, people wouldn't be doing it. Tefillin have to be black. And so far, we've been discussing the tefillin of the arm. The tefillin are black, and the tefillin have to be relatively square. You don't have to sit there with making it perfectly square, and I'll tell you why. Because you think your tefillin are perfectly square. But I'll tell you a little secret, they're not. It's the paint that's on top that they could fashion into a perfect square. The tefillin themselves, it's very hard to get it to be the perfect square. When you see your tefillin are not like 100%, ask a rabbi. But most of the time it's okay, because most of the time they never got it this good. It's the paint that looks perfect, square, and very nice. Onward. Tefillin shouldn't get wet, because the dyo, the ink we write tefillin with, it smears when it's wet. When you get an aliyah to the Torah, don't kiss the Torah scroll. A little bit of your saliva could disqualify the Torah. Any liquid disqualifies Torah. That's why in Simchas Torah, when we dance with the Torah, people are sweaty. We try to put the Torah in a plastic and a nylon covering so it doesn't get wet. We move on. So our tefillin should not get wet. If we took a shower, we shouldn't put tefillin directly on before our hair is perfectly dry. If we're sweating, we just did a jog, we're sweating, we come to shul, we should not wear tefillin directly on it. You don't want the liquids coming in and eventually ruining the tefillin. We should not leave tefillin in the car. Children in the car die. If you leave them in the car and you close the door, tefillin in the car get destroyed. They cannot handle that high heat. If you're going in the Golan and you're going on a camping trip and you're going to go in the water and stuff, so get one of those cases that hold your tefillin in that are waterproof. Tfidanit, I think they call them. The straps that we wrap around our arm, also have to be black. Technically, wrapping around the arm only has to be like this. You tighten it, you have the knot, which is in the form of a yud. You tighten it, and you come around, put it around the middle finger three times, kosher. But that's not our custom. But you should just know that technically, midoraita, biblically, that's the amount of strap you need, and that's the amount of strap that's kosher, as it says in the Gemara and in the Shulchan Aruch. So our custom dates back probably a millennium or more, is that we wrap it around, we make the blessing. Baruch atah Hashem Elokeinu Melech Haolam asher kidushanu b'mitzvosav v'tzivanu laniach tefillin. When we make that blessing, we have in mind on the tefillin of the arm and the tefillin of the head. The blessing is going to go on both. After we made the blessing, we tighten the knot. The tefillin were positioned in the right place, which we'll discuss in our hands-on class. And we're ready to tighten the knot. Ukshartam doesn't have to mean tie it, make a brand new knot. No, ukshartam means you attach the knot onto your arm. So the knot is prepared in place. The tefillin are in place. I'm prepared. I make the blessing. I have in mind the arm tefillin and the head tefillin. After I made the blessing, I tighten it. Now I come around. If I'm Ashkenazi, I come around this way. If I'm Sephardi, I come around that way, right? Sephardim wrap this way, Ashkenazim wrap that way. You know the joke. I'm allowed to say it, I'm Ashkenazi. Ashkenazim like taking, so they're always taking. Sephardim are into giving, so they do this. Okay? You're allowed to say jokes about yourself.
Found a way to make it through this.
So we make the blessing, laniach tefillin, tighten the tefillin. Tighten the tefillin, and then we come around seven times, right? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, and then we come to the hand. Now, when we come to the hand, the generally accepted custom by most people is that we don't do around the fingers right now. We just wrap it around the hand once or twice, and then we take the shorosh, we put it in place on our head, we make the blessing al mitzvah tefillin, and tighten it on our head. Now, imagine a hairline here. Okay, you guys can all imagine that. So the tefillin are not supposed to go down beneath the hairline. As far as up on top, you have a lot of space till the place where the pulse, the fontanelle, the pulse of a baby ends. So it's unless you're wearing this big Chabad tefillin, it's very hard to get the tefillin too high. Chabad have a custom making very big tefillin. So if you're getting very big tefillin, then you run into a question if it shouldn't be too high. Most people, the mistakes they'll make is that the tefillin run too low. That Rav Kook personally went around Europe and publicized a book called Chavush Pe'er, telling people that their tefillin shouldn't be too low. This was a common thing, that people wore the tefillin too low. I'm